So I'm going to reflect on, is Africa equipped for the 2030 development agenda? So ladies and gentlemen, it is a great honor for me to have been invited to speak at this very important session. Science, governance in Africa, challenges and opportunities. Before I start, just to say that I've had an opportunity to be in Africa for almost all part of Africa. When I was Minister of Education and Science, I was an opportunity to visit almost all the major educational institutions in South Africa. And South Africa helped a lot Rwanda after the genocide in building its educational system. I had also an opportunity to visit Nigeria as a guest of the President of Nigeria. We're seeking for partnership, and also had an opportunity also to participate at the first AMCOST African Ministerial Conference on Science Technology in 2003 in Joburg, and some other AMCOST actually in 2007. As also an opportunity when I was still Minister of Science for Rwanda. So during my time as the director of TWAS, I've been also have opportunity to visit Africa several times. So this reflection corresponds to my opinion, how I see things. It is a great honor again for me to be here. As you know already, the most important development objectives for the next 15 years are the Sustainable Development Goals that were adopted by the United Nations General Assembly on September 25th as the 2030 Development Agenda. This agenda gives a comprehensive plan for national, global socioeconomic development that reflects the urgent need to protect our planet. It will require greater investment in education at all level, primary education, secondary, and higher education. It will also require investment in science, technology, and innovation, not only for economic growth, but also for social inclusion. That is the eradication of poverty and extreme poverty through access to food, safe drinking water, and sanitation. Also, this new development agenda is striking for its difference from the Millennium Development Goals, because the Millennium Development Goals were just Millennium Development Goals, but this one does say Sustainable Development Goal. It claims that sustainability is a must. It's a matter of survival for our planet. So development that is not sustainable is considered to be unethical. This is why we have been seeing, if there are companies at global level that cheat on emissions, government reporting data that are not right, those issues are the central of what we are doing. So as we are doing science, it is very important to put development and sustainable development at the center. So right now, the Africa continent is right now, I'm saying right now, don't say it tomorrow, 5 years from now, but right now, the Africa continent is poorly equipped to face the challenges related to sustainable development, as mentioned above, population growth, food security, climate change, etc. The continent trails behind in several indicators, including Human Development Index, higher education enrollment, number of college graduates, number of researchers, as well as number of scientists per capita in all fields of science, technology, and engineering. My talk will be organized as follows. First, I will discuss the developmental challenges faced by the Africa continent. These challenges are particularly reflected in poor human capacity and poor scientific infrastructure. Second, I will briefly discuss the need to build a continental innovation system comprising the appropriate science governance system linked with STI policies and strategies that not only emphasize growth, but also take into account social inclusion. This is reflected in the newly adopted Science, Technology, Innovation Strategy for Africa's Development, known under the acronym of STISA 2024. Third, I will discuss the role of South-South, North-South cooperation in helping Africa to build its STI capacity. And in half time, I will end up with some optimistic quotes of some leaders. Development challenges. There is a tale of two Africas. One Africa growing and vibrant, and while still trapped into deeply harmful poverty. As was mentioned by the chair, Africa is now the world's fastest growing continent. Economic growth was 4.8, 2014, estimated 5-6% 2015. There is a hunger for knowledge and connection to the world. The internet and connectivity to mobile telephony is great. There is a strong emerging research culture, emerging world-class science and research culture in South Africa, a dramatic push to build new universities in nations such as Ethiopia, Uganda, Rwanda, Kenya, and others. And at the regional level, Africa University of Science and Technology in Abuja, Nelson Mandela Institute of Science and Technology in Arusha, and other initiatives such as the Africa Institute of Mathematical Sciences, and so forth. However, Africa is particularly vulnerable to issues such as hunger, poverty, and climate change. Of the 48 world leading least developed countries, 34 are in Africa. Africa today has 1.1 billion people, 14% of the world population, with 200 million between 15 and 24. That was 2010 statistics. And then by 2050, probably going to 450. And the population probably 2.4 billion. But what is very striking is that in 2011, 80% of the world poor lived in South Asia, close to 400 million, and Sub-Saharan Africa, 415 million. I skip other statistics. Africa's education needs are enormous, enormous. It will need hundreds of thousands of new scientists and engineers in the coming decades. Even you see at this conference, you don't see so many Africans or black faces. It is very important to have inclusion. Young people represent enormous potential resource, but Africa is not prepared to adequately develop that resource for tomorrow's job market. I was discussing with one of the professors, one of the director of the universities here, and it is common. Most universities in the developing world, and in particular in Africa, have around 10, 15% maximum of PhD professors. This means most of the professors, of the teachers in higher education, have a bachelor's degree. This means we have tertiary education that is not tertiary education, that is a secondary education. Worldwide, 57 million children were out of school in 2011. Nearly 30 million of them were in Sub-Saharan Africa. And again, with the war in Burundi, with some of the wars in Mali that came, that was statistic in 2011, some of the war in Mali, you go to Central African Republic, you go to Southern Sudan, I think these numbers may have increased. More than half were girls. Teacher training is inadequate. At the university level, there is a dire lack of PhD faculty. The science facilities and laboratories are poor and non-existent at every level of education. When I gave this talk a few weeks ago in a country, somebody came and said, "Murenzi, you are very pessimistic." I said, "I should tell you the truth. I didn't come here not to tell you the truth." So poverty is definitely reflected in Africa's research infrastructure. The result is inescapable. at a time of increasing urgent challenges, at a time of rapid globalization to address those challenges, Africa is struggling to join the global science enterprise. Clearly, it will definitely be challenging for Africa to achieve the SDGs if nothing is done. Pan-African Science Technology Innovation Strategy. Ladies and gentlemen, luckily, something is being done. To address these challenges, the African Union has adopted a forward-looking and ambitious development plan for Africa's socioeconomic development that spans over 50 years. This plan is called Agenda 2063. So those who are interested in Africa's development should take time and read it. And it is backed by the Science, Technology, and Innovation Strategy for Africa's, for Africa, called STISA. This ambitious strategy will be rolling every 10 years. The first one of the STISA is STISA 2024. The reason they call it 2063 is because of the African Union was established in 1963. So 2013 was 50 years, so we go there and then we do another 50 years, one century. This strategy, I was reading it, it is demand-driven. Some of the issues we discussed: agriculture, health, infrastructure development, mining, security, water, energy, environment, among others. It would like to address that. Science technology Science technology is not just done in the air, it's done in reality. This plan also has four pillars, and in these four pillars, it is very important to understand that science technology has four major objectives: knowledge acquisition and deepening, knowledge creation, knowledge transfer, and innovation. And the level of implementation at national level, regional level, and at the continental level. And also the issue of funding is addressed, but also the issue of governance. The issue of governance through the African Union Human Resource Research Science and Technology, through NEPAD, also through AMCOST, the African Ministerial Conference on Science and Technology. And then South-South cooperation. Things have changed dramatically over the last 30 years or so. We have already now universities of center of excellence in the South: China, India, Brazil, Malaysia, South Africa, offer opportunities that didn't exist before. Somebody from Benin or from Rwanda, rather than going to do a PhD in the North, he can still go to China, to Brazil, to South Africa to do a PhD. And that is very good news. Doing a PhD in the US costs $250,000 in 4 years. If you do it in some countries in the South, it's less than $100,000. Sometimes it can be even $50,000 in 4 years. So dramatically increase the capacity. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the government of South Africa for giving 150 scholarships from sub-Saharan Africa, from Africa to South Africa for the next 3 years, under the African Renaissance Scholarship. And then for North-South cooperation, it's very important to understand somebody has already a PhD, you need to give him an opportunity to spend some time in a very good laboratory in the North. So we've started a program with DFG in Germany, where now we'll be sending 50 sub-Saharan Africa researchers to spend 3 months in laboratories in Germany. That has been very, very positive. The program is really thriving. It's a very good program. So we thank the government of Germany for doing that. So if you allow me, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to finish with just one quote. Rather than doing a quote from president from Africa, I'm going to do a quote from another son of Africa, Barack Obama. Barack Obama was addressing the United Nations General Assembly on the 27th of September this year on sustainable development. and he said so many things, but he said, development is threatened if we do not recognize the incredible dynamism and opportunity of today's Africa. Hundreds of millions of Africans still struggle in the face of grinding poverty and deadly disease, daily assault on their life and dignity. But I visited Africa recently. What I saw gave me hope, and I know should give you hope, because that continent has made impressive gains in health and education. It is one of the fastest growing regions of the world with a rising middle class. And he continues, if we get Africa fulfilling its full potential, that will help the entire global economy. Everyone here will be helped. It's a non-zero sum game. We are invested in their success. I thank you.